Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready?
And welcome to the greatest show on earth.
Lads, dads, and a couple of beers. Big Al and Dave chatting to a couple of peers. Covering the topics that you're gonna wanna hear. Making you laugh your ass off while holding back the tears. Crazy stories, celebrity guests. Come and take a minute to relieve some stress. Regardless of your background, religion, or wealth, the most important conversation is about mental health.
Sponsored by Manscaped. Your balls will thank you.
Welcome back to Lads, Dads, and a Couple of Beers.
That was quite a normal one.
I know, because I'm giggling. Could you just make me laugh before we start recording?
Well, you know, I have a tendency to
do these weird things. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm good.
Do you know, randomly then, mate, because we've been talking about sponsors, I was about to go, oh, firstly, we must say thank you to our sponsors like we used to do that.
Well, we haven't really got any sponsors. We've parted ways with Manscaped because, well, that deal just ran its course. We're hoping
they paid their thousands of pounds and then they fucked off. Yeah.
Yeah. We're hoping to pair up with some good brands next year. We've actually just been signed to a talent agency, EMC Talent. Ooh. There we go. But look, let's get into it.
Does that mean that I can put fluffer on my CV now?
Why? What's that got to do with being signed by a talent agency?
Well, I can spot talent.
No. Well, people can't see what you just did.
Oh, well, I was giving it the old big floppy cock blowjob kind of symbols. You know, when you shake the salt shakers into your mouth. The old feeding the baby bird thing. Is it not that kind of talent?
No, not that kind of talent.
Oh, shit. Boring.
More like social media talent.
So oh, right. Okay.
In series four, hopefully we'll get some different brands we can plug and make some fucking money, let's be honest.
Yeah, that'd be nice. I've got a sore tooth.
Okay, good. What are you drinking?
Aqua de Stoke.
Are you in a Premier in Stoke again, aren't you?
Hang on a minute. I'll get my bottle.
Is it a Love Island bottle?
Funny enough.
No, it's not, is it?
No, it's not. No, it's not. But I do want to talk about Love Island.
Okay, before you do, I need to introduce you to something. I'm drinking a Cinco Estrellas Mahou.
Sounds like you've drunk a few of them already, mate.
It's a five-star taste export, 5.1 Spanish beer. I quite love it.
I'm a bit concerned about that.
Oh, shit. I've just realised on the back of the bottle it's out of date.
I thought you said you only just bought it.
I did. That can't be right. 10th of the 10th, 2023.
Yeah, it's only 2022, mate. You're fine.
Oh, fucking hell. For some reason, I keep thinking it's 2024.
Well, even if it'd be the 10th of the 10th, it'd be October. So, yeah, you're like 2.5 years in advance. But what I was going to say is that beer, if it's Spanish, mule is donkey, isn't it? Or horse.
Who said anything about mule? It doesn't say mule.
That's what you just said. You went, mule.
No. It's Mahou or Maho. M-A-H-O-U. Nothing to do with a mule.
I was about to say, because you're probably even drinking...
Donkey's piss.
Or semen.
Yeah.
Knowing you, it's probably semen.
That's a point. I need to call my stepdad back. Oh, dear. Jenkins, anyway, another one. This one's split.
Let's talk about Love Island.
Go for it.
Mate. I'm fucking obsessed with Love Island geese.
Are you watching it?
Yeah. And me and Kelly used to watch it every single year. And then last year we didn't watch it because we thought it was dog shit. But we're watching it again now. And now I'm obsessed. And I went out with some of my friends last night who I hadn't seen for a while.
They mucked you off because you watch it.
No. And this is what I want to talk about. Right. So there was five of us at the dinner table and three of us watched Love Island. And two of us didn't. Right?
Right.
So.
Did the other two have vaginas as well?
No. They didn't have anything like that. but
anything like that.
when is it acceptable as a man to say that you watch Love Island? And is it acceptable, or am I being a bit dark ages then?
No, I mean, I joke, but I mean, I watched it religiously when it first came out, and I loved it. But I think it's one of those things that, because everyone else raves on about it, I just don't have the time to watch it, if I'm honest. Because you have to be committed.
Yeah, you do. You've got to watch it every night, or you've got to play catch up. Quite a few times I've had to play catch up because I've missed it. But of course, I get all the stereotypical bullshit that, you're just watching it for the young girls in the bikinis. And I'm actually not. I'll tell you what I watch it for. It's the disconnection from life. Do you know what I mean? It's such shit TV that I can just turn off and I don't have to think while I'm watching it.
I thought you meant the contestants' disconnection from life.
No, I don't mean that. I think sometimes I am a bit concerned about the younger generation of our country and what they seem to not really know or not understand. But then I suppose it comes from their background.
How do you mean?
I don't know, like general knowledge.
Right, I see what you mean. Yeah, because you had that one girl in it one year who said about Liverpool being in China, which she said was then in Europe. Do you remember?
Well, Jay Goody did that in Big Brother as well, didn't she? She said East Anglia was abroad.
Yeah, but Jay Goody made a career out of being thick as pig shit.
Yeah, and I don't want to take anything away from any of them, but maybe it shows how lost touch with education we are as well. I mean, you think at the moment you've got like Michael Owen's daughter in there. And I actually don't mind her. I think she's quite cool. She's fiery. She says what she wants. She don't take no shit from no. Yeah, she's a pretty girl. Yeah. She's like 19 years old, but you can tell that she's come from a very financially wealthy background. Mm. Yeah. Mm. I mean, like, you ask some of them what they do for a living. You don't get a geezer saying, I work double shifts in Morrison's. Do you know what I mean? Like, she's an international equestrian rider.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
They do seem to get the Instagram successfuls in there.
Well, so this is something that I was going to ask you, because you know a little bit more about that than I do. And isn't it right that they have to have a certain amount of following before they're allowed to go on there?
So they've either got, yes and no. So, I mean, I'm lucky in the sense of and yourself, we know a past Love Island contestant in Idris Virgo. And I
know two.
Do we? Who else?
Paul Dedan.
Oh, the OG of Love Island. Yeah.
OG, yeah.
But I'm talking more current Love Island. And he dispelled a few myths to me about Love Island. And to be honest with you, I'd love to say what they are on the pod. And it wouldn't mean nothing to me or wouldn't get me in any kind of trouble. But I know Idris would probably get a bit of flack about it if he ever got back to, you know, ITV or whatever. But there's so many things about a Love Island that is just, if you like looked into it and done some research, you can Google most of this stuff. And it's up to you whether to choose whether it's real or not. But let me tell you something, 80% of it is real. 80% of it is true. The stuff you see online that you think, that can't be right, 80% of it is right. Mm. But going back to your original question, yes, they do. They have to have a certain following. They have to have a certain internet fame as it is. They have to have some kind of connection as well to a celebrity, i.e. someone that's already been in X on the Beach, TOWIE, Made in Chelsea, that kind of thing. There is a constant pattern with everybody that's been in Love Island that they are somehow connected to either one of those shows, whether it be an ex or they were best friends or their sister or their brother or their dad's famous. It always has to be a connection. Otherwise, they're just average Joes. Mm. It's quite... The casting for it is a bit strange because obviously, if me and you, they wouldn't pick me and you because we're, you know...
Speak for yourself, mate. Like, I'm absolutely dripping in sex appeal, son. It's hanging off of me like BO.
What an unbelievable analogy. But I just think it's, I don't know. I've learned a lot about Love Island recently. Funny enough, because I've with a friend of mine who does a lot of parties, he's just got a Love Island representative to come to the party and hand out free bottles, like with people's names on them, like Love Island bottles. So I'm going to be meeting someone from Love Island soon. I'm going to have a little bit of a chin wag about him. So let's pick up the Love Island conversation again and maybe series four. I want to talk about something.
Go on then.
Yeah, is your missus obsessed with Stacey Solomon?
Got to go and
get some shit. Because Stacey's been there. Look what Stacey did with the bathroom. Or should we do what Stacey did?
No. I mean, we like Stacey Solomon in our house, but I wouldn't say we're obsessed.
It's becoming a bit of a... bit of a weird one.
So what's she doing? What's she going and getting?
Just anything Stacey Solomon related. It's just like, oh, I've got to get that. I've got to get this. Stacey Queer. Stacey Solomon. Joe the kids.
Is she sponsored by B&M?
No, she just loves a bargain.
All right.
No, she's not. I don't think she is, no.
She's got, that cottage has got a funny name where she lives though, isn't it?
Oh, it's massive. Have you seen it?
But isn't it called like Swashy Cottage or something like that?
No, it's not.
It, mate, Google.
Are they married?
No, they're, because Joe Swash has just been on his stag do this week to Ibiza.
Oh, have you seen all that?
Yeah, I saw all that, mate. I like Joe Swash. He's a fucking funny fucker, he is.
Yeah, but I don't think he's actually done anything wrong. He's just on his stag do.
Why? What? I haven't seen what. Well, just why, the
press got hold of it. Press got hold of it and said, "Oh, you know, Stacey Solomon refused to come on Loose Women this week because she's inconsolable due to the pictures of Joe talking to blonde girls on his stag do." Right? Like, but that's bullshit. I guarantee that's not true.
Yeah, I bet she was brunette. I don't. Inside Stacey Solomon's huge 1.2 million pickle cottage. I knew it had a weird name. Pickle Cottage. Yeah. But you're right. Bloody hell, it's been in Hello magazine, all of her B&M bargains.
Yeah, she loves a bit of B&M.
Well, what would you prefer your wife to be obsessed with? Stacey Solomon or... I don't know. Can't think of anything that you wouldn't need to edit out.
Chris from the pub.
Mate, that's an unhealthy addiction. Big up the man, Chris, if you're listening.
Oh, God. How do we describe Chris from the pub?
He's a guy that shines Prince Andrew's shoes. I tell you what, that, like, let's quickly talk about the pub, because when we say the pub, there's only one pub that we're thinking of, and that's the Cork in Wellingarn City, which is now known as the Two Willows, which is where I used to work. It's where I met my wife.
But, where we met?
Yeah, it's where we met. Yeah, you just had a tattoo and you were sitting outside and you were putting cream on. No, I just had a tattoo and I was putting cream on it, and you asked me if you could borrow some of the cream because you just had a tattoo as well. See, I remember that.
God, you remember that? I vaguely remember that now.
Yeah, I had some of that. What's it called? Silver cream or whatever it's called.
It was green, wasn't it? It was green cream.
Yeah, and you just rub it lightly over your tattoo and it keeps
it
the moisture.
It smelled like aloe vera.
Yeah.
Aloe vera.
Nice stuff. Aloe vera. But yeah, when we talk about the pub, we talk about all the staff that used to work there. And quite often, mate, I do find myself reminiscing and thinking about all those people that came and went through the Cork when the wonderful Daryl and Diane were the landlord and landlady there, and we had some fantastic times there. Do you know what else I think of? And as my fellow DJ, I want you to answer this question because this is really interesting. And obviously, I like you, I worked in Wellingarn City on a Friday and Saturday, Sunday, Thursday night, all fucking through for like 8 years I worked in the Cork. And we used to see a lot of the regular faces in there pissed out of their head or off their head on something else that we won't talk about. But what I always used to cross my mind is how many babies I was responsible for. And what I meant by that was people would come into the pub, I'd be DJing, they'd get pissed, end up having a one-night stand with somebody else and have a baby with that person.
What's that got to do with you?
Because I was the person that was playing the music in the pub. So I always thought, I like to think about that. How many people? Whatever you want to call it. Like, I was the person that played the music when you two got pissed and ended up shagging behind Simmons. Do you know what I mean? There was quite a few people, some of which who are married now.
I don't actually think there's someone that knows, like, oh, do you know what? Oh, look at any lovely. Yeah, tell you what we need to thank. What? Remember that bald DJ from the pub that played Macarena?
Well, I have two couples that I know. Both of them are married. One of them met in the Cork when I was working in there, because I saw them get together, and they're friends with Kelly's. And another person that got together with his girlfriend on the back of the Cork was because I saw her current boyfriend cheating on her, and I told her in the pub.
You grass.
I saw him at Batchwood, right? And he was getting off of some other bird, be like, and my friend Emma worked in the pub, and it was one of her best friends. And it's, you can bleep out their name, but it's his wife. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the blonde girl.
Yeah.
She was weird, man.
Her boyfriend I caught in Batchwood. And my friend Emma worked in the Cork. And I went and said, oh, I saw that bird, that girl's boyfriend in Batchwood. He was like all over this other bird getting off. And she was like, really? I'm going to tell her. And unbeknown to me, our other friend fancied her even then. So took it as an opportunity, and they're married.
How's
he? Damn silly, you know, doing it all the old matchmaking. That was me on a Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night. Fucking all the time I was there. But look, happy days. It was a wonderful time, and we've been back in that boozer a few times since, and it definitely has lost its spirit, and the tide has definitely changed in there, and I'm sure that. The latest generation of people still have so much love for the place. But, it was good while it lasted, pal. Very good.
It was good. Right, should we get our guest on?
Let's go for it.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have another TikToker. Not just any TikToker. Now, I've watched this. I'm about to call him a lad then, but he's not a lad. He's 52, by the way. and that's a running joke, if anyone that follows Simple Simon will know. He's not simple by any means. He's actually a really nice bloke. Now, I've followed his TikTok journey, and he is actually fighting in a YouTube boxing event against a 19-year-old little shit who's nothing but a
roadman,
wannabe gangster. So, look, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the podcast TikTok's finest, Mr. Simple Simon. How are you, sir?
Yeah, no, I'm very good. Thank you. Yeah, all good. Thanks.
Good stuff. Wonderful. Good stuff. So let's get the Simple Simon bit out of the way first. Why Simple Simon? Where did that come from?
I'll tell you what, it was just so off the cuff, really. My daughter Keely, who you know, obviously the majority of people know on TikTok, she was really reasonably big at the time. And just one day she said to me, why don't we just do a video, Dad? We do a video, dance video, we put it on my account. And I said, okay, yeah, no worries. I didn't even know what TikTok was. I didn't have a clue. I said, yeah, well, we'd do that. So we'd done a dance, and it got to 1.2 million views, I think. Wow. And everybody was like, oh, your dad's got to, like, get his own account, get him to sort his own account out. And then as soon as they said that, I said to Keely, oh, let's just do it. And she said, all right, we've got to call yourself something, but don't call yourself, you know, your full name. And I went, well, let's just do Simple Simon. Simple Simon Says. So, and that was it. Literally,
that's where he was born.
And bang, and that was it. Yeah.
It's so weird how things are like.
It is. It's crazy. Yeah. I mean, like, I'm not really into the whole TikTok thing, Simon. I'll be blatantly honest. It's still a bit beyond me. I have two daughters as well. And my eldest daughter is 11, and she loves a TikTok with all of her friends.
Mm. Yeah.
But, like, speaking of that, what did your mates think?
Well, with the TikTok, it was quite a weird one, really, because, like, when I started the TikTok, I just finished managing a football team, because it was when it was lockdown. And so I wasn't really in contact with all my mates, etc. And then it sort of just built up and up and up. And the more it built up, all of a sudden I was getting messages from people I hadn't spoken to for 20 years and 25 years. And they was like all going, yo, what's all this about inside and all that? And I was thinking, well, bloody hell, you know, it must be getting out there if it's, you know, people like that sort of finding out what's going on. So it was a bit of a weird feeling, to be honest.
So how many followers you at now?
I think I'm on around 385,000, something like that now.
Which is mental.
Yeah, it's mad. It's it's like, it's just got mental because this account I've got now, I've only had for 6 months.
That's pretty good growth. Let's be honest. Yeah. That's pretty good.
And what's happening, I mean, it's going up slowly, which is really good because there's a lot of people on TikTok that will put a video out, it'll go viral, go absolutely mad, and all of a sudden they're on 200,000 followers. But when they put the next video up, it gets about 1,000 views. But the way I've done it, it's sort of like it's gained just gradually, and the videos are sort of gained gradually with it, sort of thing. So it's worked quite well, actually.
I think you found a niche within the algorithm. I think that's fair to say. Just with some of the stuff you post, it's relatable. So I think as you're well aware, the way an FYP works, an algorithm, is that it would tend to attract to a certain audience. Where with you, if you've got another 50-year-old gazer who's on, sorry to say, Eurasia, another 50-year-old gazer that's on TikTok who's scrolling, probably going to come across yours. But if you've got another guy like in his 20s, because of all the stuff, and we'll get onto it with the boxing, you're going to go in there FYP. If you're doing stuff with your daughter, you're going to go in, you know, girls FYP. So you've probably hit the ground running from the minute you started going.
Yeah, and the RF girls, don't forget them.
And who, sorry?
The RF girls, don't forget them.
Oh, well, the RF girls, yeah. I didn't want to say just yet, OF. I don't think people are very familiar with the terminology OF, which for our audience that are not means OnlyFans. Dave's got his own account. He basically sits in the bath and pours baked beans over his bollocks, don't you, Dave?
Yeah, I mean, it's weird you talk about your daughter got you into TikTok. My mum got me into OnlyFans.
Your mum did?
No, I'm only joking. My poor mum will listen to that. My mum won't know what OnlyFans is.
Well, you hope she don't.
Well, she probably does. She probably does. But look, let's talk about families really quickly, because we've had a little chat before, and you're a dad and you're a granddad. So tell us what life's like being a dad, because both of us are dads, and it's always nice to hear a fellow dad's view.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I think I'm quite lucky, because with my kids, I say kids, they're not, you know, four of them are not kids anymore. They're older. But with me, I've always lived my life, and I haven't been squeaky clean. I've always enjoyed my life. I've always been really open with all my kids, like really open. And I say as it is, they always know what I'm up to and what I'm doing. So when I'm doing all this, they don't bat an eyelid, really. They just sort of, it's part of who I am, you know. And, you know, everybody
Do they like it, sorry? They're a little bit proud, or?
No, I wouldn't say, I mean... it took a little bit of time to get used to, I think. I mean, at first, I think I was a bit embarrassed, and I was like, oh my God, what is my dad doing and everything? You know, I've got a son that's 23, so he was getting a bit of grief regarding the Astrid business and stuff like that, which, you know, I didn't like, you know, which wasn't nice. But then as it sort of went on, they've gradually sort of got used to it. And understood it. And now, you know, when I speak to them now, they say, oh, how's it going, Dad? You know, what have you been up to? You know, what videos are you doing now? And they sort of have a laugh of it. They're talking about the boxing. And they sort of like just come to terms with it, really.
I mean, you are probably one of the most trending people on TikTok at the moment, especially on UK soil.
Cheers.
It must take its toll a little bit on your mental health. Like, there must be days that you go through a comment and you might see something and you think, you know, sometimes it's water for ducks back. Other times it must just sting a little bit.
Yeah, I think not so much the comments. I've had, you know, I don't mind saying about this, but I've had messages like death threats and
that's just fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, and saying some really awful stuff. I mean, I had some really bad messages sent to me through Facebook where I had to go to the police, where someone said they was going to kill me, they was going to stab me and stuff like that, which, you know, it's not nice. So I think more them, the messages I've had. You know, I've had quite a few messages regarding that and emails and stuff like that. I think more them, like, say hurt. I mean, I could deal with them because at the end of the day, I'm quite a tough skin, you know what I mean? I can deal with majority of stuff. But they've hurt more than the normal comments that you know, talk about my daughters and stuff like that. You know, that's a Waterford Ducks back. You know, I've heard it so many times, it just doesn't bother me. But it's the message we're saying they're going to kill you, it's not nice.
No, I can imagine. And we had the same thing with Aaron Craskell, who we had on, who's obviously quite a big YouTuber. And he had the same thing on Facebook, funny enough. So someone was sending him pictures of his kids like outside of school and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and
it's just sending him pictures of his kids in their school uniform. You think, which is just the wrong way, man.
It's just worrying. It's worrying. I mean, but how do people police social media stuff these days? It's near off impossible to police anything. You can get away with saying anything you like. There's only two places in the world you can get away with saying whatever you want to someone and not have to pay for repercussions: social media and a football ground.
Yeah.
And with footballers that we've had on, they said exactly the same thing. It's just, there's just no way around to police it. It's just always going to be there.
It is. Do you know what annoys me the most is that TikTok and Instagram, they say that you can report comments and report accounts and stuff like that. I reported numerous comments and accounts where people were saying absolutely disgusting things that you wouldn't even imagine. Do you know what I mean? It was like awful, awful stuff. I've reported it to TikTok and Instagram, and they've come back and messaged me and said, sorry, we haven't found any violation. I'm thinking to myself, you haven't found any violation with, I mean, I'm talking sick stuff. So if they're like looking at sick comments and thinking there's no violation now, right, then what hope have we got with social media?
And I agree, mate. And I think some of these corps that own these social media companies, they're some of the largest IT companies in the world, and you're telling me that they can sort out all these algorithms, but they can't put in simple benefiting factors for people's ID. I just don't believe it.
It's absolute bollocks. I mean, the pure example of the fact that we can put a fucking robot on Mars and control it from fucking Earth, but we can't find a comment that's deemed sexist, racist, or calling someone a nonce, like that. It's just we're wrong.
It is mental from that side of it. So look, while we're talking very quickly, Simon, let's talk about the boxing thing, because people might not know it. For those of you that don't know Simon and his history and things like that, so talk us through the boxing, because me and Al are both big boxing fans, probably on all levels is fair. Al did quite a bit of boxing himself, so it's a subject that we're both very keen on. So let's hear it.
Yeah, no, definitely. Right. When I was younger, I used to love boxing. My favourite boxer of all time, Mike Tyson. I thought he was, I just absolutely loved him in the ring. Bang, 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 get out. You know what I mean? Job done.
Yeah, so that's it. Yeah.
Been like Dave's love life.
Money. It ain't even that long, mate. Jesus Christ.
Exactly. I wouldn't even like to get in there in the first place. At first, I really love watching boxing and stuff, and I used to do a bit of bag work, pad work, and I've always have done right through my life. And I've never pretended to be the best boxer in the world. And I don't pretend to be a proper boxer. I'm learning, and people are teaching me, and that's what I want to do. And people are saying, I'm sort of, I'm being disrespectful to the sport. I don't think I am whatsoever, because at the end of the day, when you look at football, right, I'm really big into football. Obviously, I've managed, coached, played, and all the rest of it. When someone goes and plays football on a Sunday morning, right, they just go there and enjoy it. They're not the best footballers in the world. They're not pros. They're not even semi-pros. They just go there and enjoy it. Why can't we go into a boxing ring and just go there and enjoy boxing? Because we like it. I'm not pretending to be a brilliant amateur boxer. I'm not pretending to be a pro boxer or anything like that. I'm going into a boxing ring because I actually like the sport, and I'm really excited about going in there and giving it a go, the same as any other Sunday league footballer would.
I think there's this new category, though, isn't there, of like YouTube boxing, which is really starting to take off. And, take KSI and for example. I mean, I worked with KSI a couple of weeks ago on a video and was talking to him about the general net of what he makes from a boxing bout. And it's just astronomical money. Like the geezer's making millions. So I don't get it when people say it's disrespectful to the sport. I was kind of on the fence when it first happened, only because I've worked in social media myself and understood that it's good to expose the sport. However, the sport didn't need any more exposure than what it's got. Boxing at the time when YouTube boxing was starting was massive. AJ was coming through, putting it on the map. I do understand your analogy though of like, it's like Sunday League. However, I'd be tempted to disagree a little bit because you are out there. You're out there to the public domain. People are seeing you on their phones daily. You know, you are fighting at the O2. It's a sellout. There's a press conference. It's a little bit more hyped up, which is not a bad thing. That's a really good thing. And I personally think it's doing boxing really, really good, especially with it shows someone of your age, again, no disrespect, fighting, taking on a 19-year-old kid. It shows that, you know, to a lot of people that you can do it.
I think it shows a more humane side out.
I agree. That's where I was going. And
mate, if you can sell out the O2, fucking go for it. If I put something on the O2, there'd only be me and my mum going there to see it. Do you know what I mean? Like,
well, depends if she puts it on her OnlyFans, she'd probably get a few.
Maybe if she put a discount code, she might get something. But for me, like what you're saying is right, Simon. I love playing golf. I'm very, very bad at playing golf, but I love playing golf. But you wouldn't say that I'm disrespecting the sport by attempting to play. It's the same as like if you were learning Spanish, no one would say you're disrespecting the language by trying to learn it. It just baffles me, people's mentality where, okay, you're older than some of the guys that learn boxing, but why should you not still give it a go? Like, no, age shouldn't matter. Like, it's just pathetic. Like,
you're in pretty good shape.
He's in fucking great shape. Let's be honest.
Let's talk about your opponent for a second, Mr. Ed Matthews. Now, for people who don't know, he's a young TikToker who during, I think it might have been last summer or maybe the summer before, was posting a lot of videos of him, as he quotes, dropping game on girls in Marbella and to sort of the older sort of generation like myself and Dave, we found it just completely fucking cringe. But the young guns love it. They think it's brilliant and they kind of idolize this kid. Now, I'm of the opinion, again, you know, working in social media, it's an act. I think he's playing to his audience a little bit. I don't think he's as egotistical as what he makes out. But this bout came out about this come out of nowhere. This bout, how did this even come about?
Well, what it was, I think he called out Bryce Hall, didn't he, from America, for a boxing match, and for some reason I don't really know the details regarding that side, but he saw sort of the hype it sort of gained from him calling him out. And I don't know if Bryce Hall didn't want to come over or I don't really know what the situation was, but it didn't happen. Mm. But I think Ed saw, you know, what was going on and, you know, how much hype, you know, was happening regarding that. And all of a sudden, I think because at the time I was, you know, I was coming through on TikTok and things were going pretty well for me. I think he sort of like saw me as a bit of a target, to be honest with you.
Which, to be fair, is a bit of a cheap one. I mean,
yeah.
I think that's kind of gone under the radar a little bit, the fact that he's done that. I mean, everyone wants to talk about the fact that you're fighting a 19-year-old kid. Well, let's talk about him taking on a 52-year-old geezer. I mean,
exactly.
No one ever talks about that.
No.
And if he had anything about him, he'd come and take on someone else. I mean, it gets me a little bit angry, but I'd love to take him on. I'd batter the cunt. But... I've got a friend of mine, Idris Virgo, who's in Love Island. He's a pro boxer. He called him out on social media and Ed's seen it and just completely bottled it. So there is a certain element of like, he knows exactly what he's doing. But again, it's the Jake Paul scenario. It's making entertainment. You guys are making entertainment. people are glued to their phones watching this shit. And it does go back to that thing of, okay, it's, yeah, anyone can go and play Sunday League, but you're not just playing Sunday League. You're selling out the O2. You're putting tickets on, and people were generally interested in watching this fight. That's got to be quite a nice feeling, and if people want to watch, and the support you're getting as well.
Yeah, it is definitely, because what he actually done, as in how he got to me, he tried to get to me like in ways where I was sort of like, yeah, righto, mate, just say whatever you want. Do you know what I mean? You're 19-year-old lad, you're mouthy, just say what you want, and I could deal with it. But then he stepped it up, and he realised what kind – he was clever, because he realised what kind of person I was. And he could see that I was a 52-year-old dad, and, like, I love my family. And obviously, like, a lot of things happened with Keely on TikTok, and people saw how close me and Keely are, you know what I mean? Me and Keely are friends, you know, good friends. And like I said, I've always been open to all my kids, always. And he saw this, and he thought, right, this is a chance where I'm going to get him. And then he went over to the Keely side, where he was starting saying stuff about my daughter, and he knew that would get to me. And, you know, to be fair to him, it worked, didn't it? Because at the end of the day, he started doing that stuff, and I still tried to talk to him and try to get it all sorted, and he wouldn't have none of it. And I went, in the end, I went, fuck it, let's do it then, mate. Do you know what I mean?
The thing that I think he probably has been very poorly informed, Simon, is that you don't stick your dick in a hornet's nest. The kids are in.
I'm on a fucking podcast. I got fucking bars ready. What the fuck's going on there? This fucking, I've been stitched.
Which one was that?
I'm in stitch, big time. Anyway, what was he saying?
We didn't even hear what they said. What did they say?
Your bath's ready.
Bath was ready.
Oh, who was that? One of your kids?
No, it's a friend of mine, but that's a long story.
Okay. We'll edit that out.
So what I think he's been poorly informed, Simon.
Was it Ed Matthews, one of your bath? Is it all the big jokes?
Yeah. Yeah.
I've been dunking him under, don't worry. Yeah.
Like I was trying to say, I think he's been poorly informed that to go around saying things about people's family members is the best way to get to them. Because what I think he probably doesn't realise, because he's young, is that a dad will fight to the death for his children. Mm-hmm. And actually, probably the most dangerous thing he could have done is to mention your family and your kids. Because now it don't matter if he tries to stop it. Now he's got hold of something that's just going to keep running and running and running. And I'm sure you're the same as me and the same as our Simon. But if you mention my kids, I'll fucking put you in the ground.
But again, we spoke about it before, Dave. There's nothing more dangerous.
And that's what I mean.
Love you have for your children.
Yeah. It's like sticking your dick in a hornet's nest. Like you're going to bite and you're going to bite hard and he's going to regret it. And whoever tried to tell him that was the best way to get to you, whoever is in his corner saying you want to get to him, this, how fucking stupid are you to say that? Because go and say something about my football team or something like that. Fair enough. I'll have a bit of alpha male banter with you, but don't fucking bring my family in it. Don't bring my kids into it or anything like that, because you ain't going to stop now. Now he's going to get it full force, and he'll be crying like a little bitch when it's done. Like, I just think it's fucking stupid.
Exactly. I mean, I'm not, at the end of the day, right? I'm realistic. I'd like you both. You do anything for your family and you do anything for your kids, 100%, literally anything, like you say. And I'm going to get in that ring. I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I'm swear, well, you've seen the videos. I'm training 6 days a week. I am hurting. I'm aching. I'm tired. Like it's been hard work. And about 3 weeks ago, I went through like it's real bad anxiety, like about 4 or 5 days, you know, I was struggling getting out of bed. I'm doing everything I possibly can to do my best in that ring. I might go in there and he might knock me out in the first round. I don't know. But I don't give a shit. At the end of the day, I've got in there. I've showed everybody is that, like, look after your family. You've only got one family, do you know what I mean? And make sure you do anything for him, whatever happens. If he knocks me out in the first round, I don't care. I've gone in there and I've tried. I've done it for my daughter. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's a good way to look at it. When I have my fight camps, and they were long, some of them were like 10 weeks long, especially the last one I had with a guy come over from New Zealand, Jimmy Mahone. And I had funny you see you say that, I had 3 or 4 days where anxiety just got to me. And I'm not scared to admit that I wasn't scared of the fight. I was scared of letting people down. And I didn't care about getting knocked out, because when you do it a few times and you realize you're not made of glass, it's fine. You can take it. But I had all those anxiety moments. I worried about the little things. I worried about the ring walk. I worried about tripping over. I worried about, what if he catches me with a stupid punch? What if I just all that kind of stuff? Okay.
I think a lot of your anxiety came from that period, Al.
Oh, definitely. 100%. Yeah. A lot of my mental health did start from probably when I stopped boxing, especially the way it ended. Like I had a really, really bad back injury. Like I was the main event of quite a big show. This lad had been flown over from New Zealand to fight. It was quite a bit of bongo on the table, if I'm honest. I was the main ticket seller. I was at the time the Southern Area Cruiserweight Champion, so I had a belt on the line, and I trained for 10 weeks, trained my ass off, got myself in shape. I got it and was walking out to the ring, and they played the wrong ring song, and I was like, oh, my head was gone. I got into the ring and he was in the wrong corner, so we had to swap over. And then he come out, I threw a jab, he threw a jab, and I went to roll and slip him, and I busted 2 discs in my back, and I went down and went into a spasm, and I had to be stretchered off, and it was a non-contest, and it was probably the most humiliating experience of my life. And I haven't boxed since. I had like a couple of exhibitions, but I've not been able to box since. And it was all those thoughts leading up to it, that what if things like that happened? And it did happen. Yeah. And it is really dangerous. It's a dangerous sport. But the only thing I can say is you're doing it. You're giving it your best go. And look, you're in fucking unbelievable shape. Watching some of his videos as well, I have to say, I personally think he'll blow out. I don't think he's got the cardio.
Yeah, I don't know. You don't know, do you? Because I'm going to be truthful here a little bit now. When I first done videos of like on the punch bags and all that, I sort of like wasn't taking a piss, but I was sort of like not showing what I'm about.
Yeah.
That's and good. And is he doing the same thing? That's the thing.
No, he's not. That fight he had with that lad from Manchester. He was blowing out of his ass because he's throwing everything at it. He's not breathing. You can see he's not breathing when his punches. I know a couple of people that have seen you in the gym on the pads, and you're breathing every time. It's quite clear you're breathing. You've learned your craft. You've learned the science of boxing. He ain't. Yeah. He's going off the nod that he thinks that he can win because he's 19 years old. He's got a six pack. He can, he can get any girl he wants, and he reckons he's gonna go for it.
Yeah, I think he thinks he's going to go in there and like just smash me up in the first round, and that's it. Job done.
He'll blow. He'll blow. What gloves are you using? Have they said yet?
No, they haven't actually said. I don't know. I honestly don't know. Not sure.
Are you wearing head guards?
No head guards.
No head guards.
No. So I don't know what the norm is really for sort of these kind of
probably 16 ounce, but 16 ounce fight gloves. So they're different to sparring gloves. They won't be. They'll bang. They'll work. Don't get me wrong. If you could take one, it's gonna work. But pros are 10 ounce. So I'd be surprised if it's 10 ounce. But I don't know. It could be. My last fight with Jimmy was 10 ounce gloves. Right. But it's just sometimes it's just you just don't know.
Yeah, I'm sparring with 10 ounce at the moment. So.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're doing all right then.
Yeah, so whoever I'm fighting, I mean, I've been fighting a couple of, like, the good boxers that have, been you know, boxing for years. That's what I've tried to do. Well, my coach has done that. He's like literally threw me in with somebody on Friday night who's been boxing for years. He's had a few knockouts and all that. And I got battered, I must admit. I did get battered. But it was like, it was 90-something kilos. I mean, he was like 13, 14 kilos heavier than me as well. And I knew what it feels like. I found out what it feels like. So,
but now you know what to do.
Yeah. So it was tough. I mean, you know, it taught me so much. Just that one sparring match, it taught me so much. As in, like, make sure you keep your hands up and, you know, moving your head. You know, I mean, it's just loads of stuff. You know, it was brilliant. That's what I needed, definitely.
How long till the fight? When is the fight?
16th of July.
Nice.
Yeah.
Whereabouts are you in the countryside?
I'm in Kent.
Okay.
Like West Kent, so.
Are you born and bred from there?
No, I'm Eastbourne originally. I was born in Eastbourne, went to school in Eastbourne. And then my mum and dad bought a pub restaurant just outside of Tunbridge Wells. And
Okay.
Then we moved up there. So then I stayed around that area ever since, really. So
Nice.
Yeah.
And how old are your kids?
Oh, crikey. Right, we've got 32.
Sorry, mate, that's going to put you on the spot, isn't it?
No, that's it. Yeah, I've got 32, 28, 23, 19 and 7.
So you had kids quite young?
Yeah, I was really young. I was only just 20 when I had my first daughter, yeah.
Well, right, okay. And you said there earlier that you haven't always been squeaky clean. Did you get in some trouble when you were young?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, when I was younger, I went through spells where I was a bit of a nightmare when I used to go out. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I'll say it is. I mean, I used to drink like six nights a week, you know, going to play pool or darts and clubbing, you know, going with my mates, playing football, drinking all day Sunday. I was like that. I'm not going to lie about it. I went through periods in my life where I was very much like that. And, I was always respectful. I only ever like got myself into trouble if I was sort of looking after myself or looking after someone else, if you know what I mean. I never used to start fights. I never used to be mouthy and I never used to be like that, but I always used to back my corner. And, and I used to, you know, if I saw someone was getting a bit of trouble and they didn't deserve it, I used to, you know, step in and try to help them out. I was sort of a little bit like that, really.
Yeah. No, that's cool. What were the pressures of having kids young?
At the end of the day, you say pressures. I think the pressures were like making sure they got everything they sort of wanted. It was tough. When I was younger, I remember I bought a house really young. I bought a house when I was 20. Bought my first house when I was 20.
Nice.
But when I was 21, 22, I lost everything. I lost my house. I lost my car. I lost my job. I literally lost absolutely everything. And I had a little girl. I had a daughter, and a wife to try to look after. And it was tough times. It was when Margaret Thatcher was in power, when the interest rates went up to about 14.5%. You know.
Yeah.
I literally lost everything and I was left with nothing, but I'm a fighter. You know, I made sure they were still all right. You know, always made sure they got what they wanted. And I went through a few periods like that in my life. And I've always bounced back and pushed myself on. And that's what I've always done. And I was lucky 2 years ago, I managed to retire, you know. So, you know, I just fought all through my life. And that's what I've done, you know.
And what's it like being a granddad?
Yeah, it's good. It was a bit of a shock at first. I mean, my eldest granddaughter was 9. So
wow.
Jesus.
Oh no, it's
so you've
mad.
Got a granddaughter older than your youngest?
Yeah.
That's insane.
it's mad. So my
hashtag Top Shagger.
So my youngest daughter was born an auntie. It's really a weird one, but
that's crazy.
Yeah, crazy. But you know, obviously, I love him more than anything in the world. I've got another granddaughter. Well, no, another, I don't know, granddaughter, grandson, whatever, another one on the way as well. So
my family's
getting bigger.
That's brilliant. And you talked about your love of football, so let's talk about that. Who's your team?
I'm Chelsea. I'm Chelsea supporter.
Oh shit! Cancel this recording now. So me and Al are both Arsenal fans.
Okay.
Do you get down there much?
Not as much as I'd like to. I do it every now and again, but it's literally every now and again. I'm just so. I mean, I used to manage and coach football, so I didn't really have a chance to get to watch Chelsea then at all. Now I've sort of like spending more time having my family. Like my little girl, I have her 3 nights a week, so I near enough share custody with her. So, you know, really now sort of family comes first and I'm more of a sort of a sofa supporter now, do you know what I mean? So,
and what is your views about life without the Russian? How do you feel about that?
It's a bit devastating, really, to be honest. I think he was so Chelsea through and through. I'm not saying the new bloke's not going to be, but I think everything was settled. It was always there. I mean, there was never any money issues, never any worries, you know, about the money side. I think he's going to have an effect, a big effect. I said earlier, I was speaking to somebody earlier, and I think Chelsea might end up around 5th or 6th this season. I think we'll have effect. Yeah, and I think Arsenal. Yeah. I think Arsenal will be out there. Tottenham and Arsenal, I think, will be above Chelsea this year.
But again, funny enough, we spoke to Tim Lovejoy a couple of weeks ago, and he was brilliant. And
he's a big Tim's a
Chelsea boy, and he was saying the rebuild for the fans is actually such a good journey because you start to win games and maybe taking that little hit and coming down and falling off your pedestal to get back up there is such a good journey. And it's such a good time for the fans to see new blood coming in, winning games, different styles of football and everything like that. So, I mean, I took a lot from that, from what Tim said, and I can only imagine that the rebuild at Chelsea will be the same. I still think they need to do something with Stamford Bridge. I understand the building regulations and all the fight that they have going on there.
Did you know that Chelsea Supporters Club own like 40% of the ground? That's the biggest problem.
Yeah, that's right. They've got to agree with what's going on and everything, haven't they?
Yeah.
But the area is so built up, there's also practically no room for expansion at all.
Especially around
because where it's built. So it's really hard for them to develop and get a state-of-the-art brand new stadium like your Spurs, because there's nowhere around there for them to do it. And I think that's probably the bigger bit, is that the Chelsea Supporters Club won't want to move out of the area.
No, of course not.
Yeah, they're talking about digging down, aren't they?
Yeah, going down like San Siro. So San Siro is in the ground, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah, that's what they're talking about. I think that is their only option to do that, to be honest. Because like I say, there's just nothing. There's no room. There's no room anywhere to extend, really. So that's the only way to do it.
I think I'm pretty sure the last thing that they could extend at Stamford Bridge was the shop. That was the last bit that they were allowed to widen. After that, there's no more room. That's it.
No, that is literally it now. So yeah, definitely. So
sorry. Let's talk about what happens after the fight. Where do you see yourself going with TikTok? Do you think you're?
I thought you meant it's going to be AJ next, isn't it?
If I went in the ring with him, I'd literally I'll just look at him jump on the floor and say, "Yeah, you won."
I don't rate him though. I get pelters for this. I just don't rate him.
No, I know what you mean by that. He's very he's. I mean, I wouldn't say to his face. I don't want to be two-dimensional to him, but he's very hyped up, isn't he? Do you know what I mean?
He's manufactured.
Yeah, he's a manufactured boxer.
He's manufactured world champion. I mean, he's a pin-up boxer, isn't he? You ain't had one like that since Ali. Like the way he looks, he's a pretty fighter, isn't he? I mean,
But he's a two-dimensional boxer. Tyson Fury, I think he's brilliant.
Well, me and Dave are both Fury heads. We're all about the Tyson.
Yeah,
he's a man's man. He does wonders for mental health, which is what we're all about. I personally think, and I know Dave said as well on the podcast, that man has single-handedly raised awareness of men's mental health over the last 3 years.
Yeah, I don't think he realises it either.
No, I don't think he does.
I think, and I don't mean it rudely, but he's such a simple man Do you know what I mean? Like, the families are important. Yeah, yeah. He can fight, so I'll get in the ring and fight. The wife doesn't work. The kids get whatever they want. It's a very linear,
relatable, it's relatable lifestyle. Isn't it?
Yeah, mm. Yeah. He's a nice guy. Tyson is.
He is. No, honestly, I absolutely love him. I think I just love his. When you listen to him, you're just engaged, aren't you? Do you know what I mean? And
yeah,
what he says. Mm. Oh yeah, and he's a family man as well, and that's what it's about. I know in the video I mentioned. Jim in the last TikTok video I'd done, and everybody's saying, oh, you're trying to compare yourself to Tyson Fury. Of course I'm not. I mean, I've never compared myself to him in a million years. What I'm trying to say is that he is like a family man as well, and every time he goes in the ring, I'm sure he thinks about his family. I'm sure he does.
But again, it goes back to my point, is that he's, you're not just doing a Sunday league match. You are doing a big boxing event. Whatever people want to say about it, they can say, oh, you could compare yourself to Tyson Fury. Well, do you know what? Yeah, I can, because I'm doing a boxing event that people have paid to watch, and it's at the O2, and it's on a pay-per-view. So yeah, do you know what? Fuck it. I can compare myself to Tyson Fury because I'm boxing. You know, what are you doing sitting there on your armchair wanking? Like,
yeah. I'm not wanking at the moment. Don't. Oh, no. That's it.
He's going to get the OF on later on.
I got in trouble last time I masturbated through an interview, so I'm not allowed to do that anymore. Al normally makes me sit with my hands in the air like this.
Who was it? What good guess was that?
I don't know. Fuck no.
Just Jessica Power. She's got no F.
Anyway, what's happening next after the fight? Where does the life of Simple Simon go?
Right, I'll tell you what I've done, and the sidemen were talking about it, and they took the piss out of me because I said if the fight goes really, really well, I would love to go and fight Greg Paul in the US because I'd just love to fight in the US. And
Greg Paul,
like Greg Paul's the same age as me, literally same age. Obviously, his sons are big in boxing and stuff like that.
Yeah, so people don't know, Greg Paul is Jake Paul and Logan Paul's dad.
Yeah, that's it, exactly. And I think he would be up for it, honestly, do. And
that'd be big for you, mate.
Oh, it would. I mean, I know how big that would be for me. I know how massive it would be. And
the Pauls have got some bloody trainers, though, aren't they? They're not holding back on the old finance of the boxing to train with
they can afford yeah. to.
That'd be brilliant, Si.
Yeah, honestly, I know people, they're taking it, you know, the sidemen were taking the piss out of me a little bit, saying, oh, how could you call someone out already? You haven't had your first fight. I didn't call them out. I said, if the first fight goes really well with Ed Matthews, people have asked me, you know, would you want another fight? And I went, if it went really, really well, yes, I would love another fight. I'd love to fight in the US. And wouldn't it be brilliant to fight Greg Paul? And that's what I said. Do you know what I mean?
What about some other names?
Joe Weller. Joe Weller. I don't know, really. It's a tough one.
You don't want to say, do you? Just in case.
No, that's it, exactly. If I say something, like, everybody's going to go, oh no. Do you know? So at the end of the day, if this fight goes really well with Ed, win or lose, it doesn't. You know, when I say go really well, I mean if I go in there,
lose with dignity,
if I go in there and put a good show up and everything, and everybody loves it, and you know, really enjoyed it, and then I'd probably have one more. Yeah, I probably would.
Do you think you'll be friends?
Oh, I don't think we'll be friends. No. Nah.
Do you think he'll give you respect after?
Yeah, I think so. I think, I mean, well, you know more than anybody. Mm. When you go in that ring, it's you know, even when I've gone in there sparring, it's not a nice place to go. It's like, literally, there's no way out. The only way out is if you win or lose, and that is it. So I think you've got to respect anybody that goes in the ring with you. Mm. I really do. So.
I see. I just, with him, I just kind of see it. If you give him a fight, he probably would. But I think if he wins comfortably, which I don't think he will, I think he'd probably be just as arrogant as what he is now, quite frankly.
I think you're probably right. But I also don't think that that's going to happen. I think it would take an awful lot. It would take something lucky for that to happen.
It's a tough one. It's just, you know, I'm going to be completely honest. I really don't know. I mean, even in my head, you know, I'm not going to be sitting here. I'm not the arrogant type of person. I'm quite a humble person. Well, I think I am anyway. And I'm not going to sit here and say, yeah, I'm going to smash him up in two rounds. I'm going to like knock him out. I'm not that kind of person. I'm really like, I'm on the fence with it. I really don't know what's going to happen.
I was like that when I was boxing. Are you scared? Sorry, are you scared of getting hurt?
No, I'm not scared. 100% not scared. I've never... When it comes to that sort of side, I've never been scared in my life. You know, I'll fight my corner all day long and I'll give him my best shot. But no, I'm definitely not scared. I'll be nervous. I'll 100% be nervous because I think, you know better than me. No one can say they're not nervous before they go in the ring, surely not.
Oh, mate, I remember being physically sick. Mm. Physically sick. And I... I'm going to admit this, but I remember actually shitting my pants. And I don't mean like metaphorically, I mean shit fell out of my asshole. Like I had to go, I just got strapped up and my coach, Marky P, he's an absolute giant of a man. He said, "What's that smell?" And I said, "I think I've shit myself." He said, "You're on in 5 minutes. Like you need to sort yourself out." And I went into the toilet and I changed, got almost had people help me change. And I said to my mate, because I had this ritual, I'd always have a bottle of Jack Daniels in my bag for after. And my mate said, where is he goes, "Oh, I can find this bottle of Jack Daniels." I said, "They're underneath that." So he's getting them out. And I said, "Give me the Jack Daniels." And I took like about four gulps, massive gulps. And I changed. And I went out and I won. The nerves are unbelievable. You can't describe it. You can't describe it. It's nerves are good. Nerves means you're alive. It means you're ready.
Yeah.
If you're not nervous, there's something wrong with you.
Are you a reader, Simon? Do you read books?
No, I don't. I suffer.
Do you look at the pictures?
Yeah, just the pictures. Yeah, no, exactly. I suffer like they never sort of. When I was at school, my concentration level was terrible. Like 10 minutes, 15 minutes. And back then they never knew all this ADHD, whatever it's called, all of that. They never knew any of that. And I'm sure I've got it. I mean, I if someone sends me a long email, I'm like, look at it, and I think shit. And I'll read the first couple of paragraphs and that's me gone. I suffer with that a little bit. I mean, I don't sit still very often. You know, I might notice I'm moving all the time. You know, it's just,
There's a really good book by Ant Middleton called The Fear Bubble. Yeah, and that talks about controlling your fear and visualizing it as a bubble and stepping into it because you control it when you step into it. It's a really good read.
The best thing about that is you've read the book, but I've listened to the audio book.
Mm.
And I'd second what Dave just said. I'd strongly recommend give that a listen.
Give it a go because you read it as you hear Ant Middleton speak as well. So
it's called
The Fear Bubble.
The Fear Bubble. It's on audio. Right. It's on Audible.
Listen to it. Because he speaks about when he was in the SAS, Simon, and when he was breaching a door, he would visualize this bubble and he knew as soon as he stepped into the bubble, it was showtime. But when he stepped out of the bubble, he could take that millisecond of a brain breath and be like, right, let's go again. And he said, the more he stepped into this bubble, so imagine the bubble being your ring, whilst you're in the ring or when you're in the center of the ring, that's your bubble. But when you come out of and sit in your corner, that's your breathing space. But you've got to be mentally prepared to step back in that bubble and go again. It's really good.
It's all
really
visualization, good. But Dave is right. It's fantastic. It's I remember listening to the audiobook when I had a fight. Do you remember that guy that lad I fought? He was a fat little thing, but he was quite tasty. No, it was the third one.
Oh, I don't know.
Anyway, maybe. I remember listening to the audiobook. Book then, and it all just resonated and clicked with boxing, like some of the terminologies that he uses about fear and
controlling the fear.
Yeah.
Controlling it.
Yeah.
And just having a open mind when it comes to fear.
Mm.
That you can harness it. It's really a good read. Another good one is David Goggins. Watch some of his shit. Mm. If that don't get you jacked up, I don't know what will.
Yeah.
Dave's mum's OnlyFans.
Yeah, you know, you said you like had a couple, you had some Jack Daniels before you got in the ring. Did you ever drink sometimes before you got in the ring?
Not only one time.
Just that one time.
Just that one time. Just that one time. Just because it was this had happened, that situation happened, and I was like, I needed something to take the edge off. But again, the interesting thing is, I think subconsciously I always wanted to because I knew it was there. So even
like,
if you just
like put a comfort bottle, blanket,
it's like if you just put, it's almost like a teddy bear. It sounds like an alcoholic's terminology, but the bottle of Jack Daniels for me was like a teddy bear. I had it in my bag that I took with me every time I had a fight. Because afterwards I knew the first thing I wanted to do when I got out of that ring was just swig a bit of Jack. And that's all I wanted to do because I hadn't drank for 10 weeks. I've been training and I was a bit of a Ricky Hatton. I'd go up to like 18 stone and then slim down to 12. Like I would just yo-yo the whole way through. And I never thought about the fact that I want to have a drink before I go in. But it was always that I could if I wanted to. It's right there. I'm nervous. It's like, fuck, because you get the runner come out, you'll go 5 minutes, you'll run 10 minutes, you'll run 15 minutes, start warming up, all this. And I'm like, right. And sometimes I'd have it poking out. And there's a few people that would be in the fights as well. And they'd be like, why have you got fucking a bottle of Jack Daniels there? And I'm like, it's for after. It's for after. And they're like, you've been tempted. And I'm like, yeah, that's why it's there. Like, I can see it. It's there.
Yeah.
But I don't recommend it. But I definitely don't do it. But
No.
It's little things like that. Some of the lads as well, like I had a mate of mine who didn't smoke throughout his whole camp, and his mum would come through to the backstage and she'd bring him a 200 carton of Marlboro Lights and she'd put him in his bag and go, there's that for after, and he'd look at him fucking hell. And then his thinking is, I want to get through this as quick as I can so I can get out there and get my fags.
That makes sense, doesn't it?
It's all psychological, mate. It's all psychological.
Yeah,
because you've got the skill set. Any man can bring another man to his destruction. It's as simple as that. The right amount of pound to pressure to chin, you can take any man down. It's as simple as that. It's all about controlling and harnessing your brain. It's all psychological. Yes. It really is.
Yeah.
He'll have the edge because he's young and confident. You'll have the edge because you're experienced. Which, in my opinion, experience always wins.
Yeah. Let's hope so this time, eh?
Well, sorry, look, we'll let you go, mate, but thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Yeah,
I appreciate you having me.
It's been wonderful to talk to you, Simon. It really has. So, look, all the best of luck for a couple of weeks' time. We'll be rooting for you and thinking of you. So sending out lots of lovely white light and love to you and the family and everything like that, and stay in contact and we'll speak to you after. But, yeah, all the very best, mate. We'll be willing you on, really.
That's really nice of you. Thank you so much. And thanks for having me on, honestly. I really appreciate it.
No worries.
You're more than welcome. Take care.
See you later.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, what are you doing, David?
Jinx! Can't say nothing now because that's it or you'll die. That's the end of the episode. Thanks for coming, everyone. Oh, dear. We never normally do that at the same time.
Not even our dear. We just said our dear at the same time.
Yeah. We used to drink at the same time and everything.
Right,
you can do it.
Think of a number between 1 and 10. We'll say it on 3. Ready? 1, 2, 3, 7.
7.
That's weird, isn't it?
What the fuck? Mate, I don't even know why I chose 7 then. I'd never choose 7.
Right, let's think of... let's do something else to see how things we are.
No, let's not, just in case it doesn't go well.
No, because it needs to be... We need to work out if we are in sync.
Okay.
Right, okay, I've got an idea. Think of
how many pieces of Lego can you put up your bum?
Ready? Go. 12.
4. Yes, you can. 12.
Big battery.
I was thinking of whole actual sets, though, like a garage, a fire station, an airport.
1992 Star Wars movie.
Yeah. Pooing it out in one.
Lovely.
Anyway.
Thank you, Simple Simon.
Thank you very much for coming on, Simon. It was lovely to have you.
We don't normally talk to TikTokers really know. We normally know a TikToker. We don't really venture in much of the world of TikTok, but Simon is...
Well, we haven't since Ricky.
Well, yeah, our friend Rick. Scully Dub, and before that, the Yorkshire Peach. But it's, I think just with his upcoming fight, I wanted to you know, get a little perspective. And also, I quite like Simon. I love following him on TikTok, and I think he gets quite a lot of shit off people. And if we can help...
He's a target, fight. Isn't it?
Love to.
Like,
yeah, exactly.
Like you said, he's an easy target. And
he's a dad and he's a good bloke, you know?
Yeah, and there's too many dickheads out there in the world that think he's an easy target, so take the piss out of it. And I just think, exactly. Fucking grow up, get a life. Anyway. Exactly.
Should we crack on with it?
Let's do it.
Hold up. Wait a minute. Something ain't right.
Ah, boy, here we go.
Oh, no, 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 no.
Right, here we go. Straight off the bat, no foreplay, no fluffing, no nothing. I'm going straight in there with a headline this week. Ready?
Not even lubing up.
No, no. Woman married a ragdoll and now has a baby. So this is from about a week ago. you all right? Look like you're shitting out that Lego again.
That's my impression of a ragdoll.
Oh, right. Oh, okay. Yeah, I get it, because it kind of does look like that. Sorry. So this is from our very good friends at Lad Bible. It was about a week ago. I'll carry on, right? As the saying goes, love knows no bounds. And this certainly applies to a woman who fell in love with a ragdoll. Right, I have to stop straight there, because for a start, go out and find this story because it will amaze you. But it's not a normal rag doll. You know when you think of a rag doll from a little girl having a rag doll when she was growing up?
Okay. Yeah.
That's not. Look at that rag doll.
It looks like a saw doll.
It does. It does look like a saw doll. But it's a life size of a man. It's not like a little rag doll.
She used to... It looks like an empty milk carton for his head.
Yeah, she might have done. Yeah, 4 liter, a 4-pinter. Right, I'll carry on. Oh, shit. I forgot she's got a really long name.
Oh, here we go. Go on.
Marivon Roca Morales has found her soulmate in the life-size doll she calls her husband. And the pair have even gone on to have a baby.
Right? How?
The 37-year-old from Brazil said her mum made her the ragdoll named Marcelo after she complained about being single and having no one to dance with. Right, I've got to be careful what I say here.
Yeah, because we don't want to tease. We always say this.
She's obviously a lonely person, and her mum hasn't gone out and bought her a dildo or anything like that. She's made her a life-size doll.
What would your mum buy you a dildo?
Well, you never know. If she's unlucky in love and she ain't got no friends, your mum might buy you a dildo.
I've never been at a family dinner and my sister turn up a little bit upset and my mum go, "Are you lonely? Yeah. Oh, here you go. I got you a dildo."
Well, she's not going to say, "Yeah, borrow mine. I've wiped it over," is she?
Dave, come on.
Right, anyway, I continue. But she got a life-size doll because she didn't have no one to dance with. Do you know what I mean? Dance on your own. Do the old fucking moonwalk and stuff like that. Anyway, little did she realise it would be love at first sight. And after a few months of dating, Marivon...
Call her Mel.
I'll call her Mary.
Mary.
After a few months of dating, Mary, she fell pregnant.
How?
Dirty bitch. She should have been using protection. Right?
What did mum put in that dildo?
Tastes just like your father. They decided to tie the knot before the newborn arrived in a ceremony that was attended by 250 people.
You're mainly press.
Mate, people in Brazil are fucking mental. They're crazy. Imagine getting that invite through the post. Oh, Mary. Mary's getting married. I haven't met her, fella. Oh, wait until you fucking see him.
Yeah, you don't want to miss this.
How did he say his vows? Did she put on his voice?
I do.
Game on. Right. Unsurprisingly, the birth was a painless one, and Mary claimed it took just 35 minutes.
How did it take 35 minutes?
Well, I don't know. Maybe he's got a big, lengthy, dull winky, and it stretched Mary out a bit, so it just fell out. But anyway.
Do you think she shoved him up there first?
Well, I've got a picture of the baby, so don't be disrespectful.
Okay.
It was a wonderful day for me. Very important, very emotional. He is a man I always wanted in my life. Married life with him is wonderful.
Of course he is. You don't fucking say anything.
I was about to say, don't fucking talk back. That's what they all want, isn't it? Mary continued. He doesn't fight with me. He doesn't argue. And he just understands me. Marcelo is a great and faithful husband. Marcelo. He's such a man, all women envy him. And all women envy him. When my mum made Marcelo and first introduced me to him, I fell in love with him. It was love at first sight.
What sort of a mother is in? Who's, don't show me that. Fuck it.
So that is a picture of their darling baby. And whenever I look at it, I just get raggy dolls, dolls like you and me.
What? Okay, I've got loads of questions. One, why are they in a hospital? Two, why is she wearing scrubs? She's got hospital scrubs on.
Yeah, I don't fit. Mate, look at the carpet on the floor. She ain't in a hospital. That's in her fucking living room.
But the women don't even look like...
She's pretending.
I get that. But the woman doesn't look completely...
What I like, is the hairnet she's got on her hair, which is really just a pair of her drawers. Look. She's just got a white pair of knickers on her head. Right. Right. So I carry on. Where did we go from? When my mum made Marcelo and first introduced me to him, I fell in love with him. It was love at first sight. It was because I didn't have a foro dancer, which I'm guessing is a dance partner. I would go to these dances, but wouldn't always find a partner. Then he entered into my life and it all just made sense.
What, the mum dangled him in on a bit of string?
What size would you like his cock, love? Extra large?
why keep talking about his dick?
I don't know, because what else would they be making?
Do you think mum stitched
one on it? She hasn't sewed a pretty face on. Oh, yeah, he'd be hung like, mate, it'd be a whopper. That's where all the thread and stuffing's gone, mate. The wedding was a wonderful day for me. Very important, very emotional. It rained a lot, but it was wonderful. Rain,
mate. The person in your hotel in your next room must think, "What the fuck is he going on about?"
They'd be like banging on the walls. What the fuck's he talking about?
Yeah.
But as often is the case, marriage isn't always easy. With the dull mum of one adding, he has so many great qualities, but the only downside is... What do you think his downside is?
Let me think a sec. Hold on. I don't know. You don't put a toilet seat down when he goes for a piss?
No. I mean, you're close, but no.
Is that still his genitals?
No. It's not like he's got a tiny dick or anything and he should blame his mother. No, it's not that.
He shits the bed, I don't know.
Out of all the things you could moan about, his only downside is he's lazy. He doesn't work at all. But I'm a warrior and I keep it going for us.
I'm a warrior.
Mate, do you want to see a picture of him at Nando's? He looks like fucking Barry Chuckle.
Oh my God. Bring that back.
Night, night, Nando's.
Look at how long his arms are.
His long arms and his shit feet, his shit fucking tash and his shit eyebrows. Look at that.
He looks like it looks like one of them Paul Winehouse like sketches where they done a Scouser.
Geez, yeah, it does. For me, it's his Larry chain. Look at the chain he's got on. And the way he's got his arm around a bottle of Coke. Like, what the fuck?
But it's not even that. His mum's obviously made him, like she said, but she hasn't made him like...
He's got a fucking mullet, bro.
And he's got such a, like... He's got a look on his face like, help.
Yeah, like, even he don't want to be there.
Yeah, and he was made.
Mate, this is where it gets interesting.
It's funny. What do you mean it gets interesting?
Right. Mary said, after Marcello didn't use a condom, she fell pregnant and even gained weight as she eagerly awaited for the new arrival. On the 21st of May, they welcomed doll child Marcellino into the world following a pain-free birth. She explained, I didn't feel the contractions in pain.
Of course you didn't.
Seeing the placenta and the umbilical cord and the blood made it all real. He was here in 35 minutes and he is great.
Let me see. Looks like a farmer.
I know we shouldn't laugh. People have serious problems out there, but this is just crazy. It really upsets me.
It's clearly a joke.
It really upsets me when people say this is fake. It makes me so angry. I am a woman of character. My father, my mother taught me to be honest, to be a good person, and to not want to take advantage of anything. Mate, I'm going to Brazil. The drugs out there are fucking mental, geese.
I want to meet this woman. Oh, do you know what we should do?
Bell her up, send her a video and hold a doll up and pretend that you're talking to her.
I honestly think that I'm going to try and speak to people that I know at either Netflix, Prime, Channel 4 and see if we can organise and pitch some sort of documentary in which we follow up all these stories.
Geez, it's just...
Because it's mental.
Like, I know that we shouldn't always laugh at people that...
We're not
of sound mind, but like you said, if you were going to make a doll that looked part Scouse, part Barry McGuigan, part Barry Chuckle, guys listening, you've got to go and see this story just to see what the doll looks like.
It's insane, I mean he looks like Ian Rush.
Mate, he's got his fucking tongue hanging out as well. What's he doing to him?
It looks like a South Park character. It looks like Stan's dad, Kyle's dad from South Park. That's what it looks like.
But, geez, the other thing is, they're out in a restaurant. They're out in a restaurant. Like, she's not.
She's not bad looking at all.
She's not a bad looking girl.
So she could get a fella.
She looks stereotypically Latino, yeah.
Yeah, she could definitely get a fella, one that's not made out of polyester.
And like in the restaurant, there's a glass in front of him that's half full of Coke, and his plate is half empty.
Yeah, so who's eating that,
mate?
Maybe we're the idiots. Maybe he's real.
Maybe he's the new AI from Tesla, and we just don't know. But
yeah, maybe it's Elon Musk under there.
Yeah. I just... Do you know when they say that something shouldn't be encouraged?
Yeah.
I think the only person to blame in all of this is her mother.
Oh, absolutely. It's like them pushy mums that tell their kids they can sing on Travel Man X Factor.
I can't stop looking at his fucking gold chain, mate. Like,
he's dripping.
He's going to be my profile pic. Like... He's an absolute G.
What's happened to his nose? Is he been partying with Daniela Westbrook?
His nose is a triangle. He's got his tongue hanging out and he's got a ropey chain from Index. Like
Index.
It's the old Figaro chain, isn't it?
Index.
And he loves a bottle of Coke with his blue denim shirt on. Anyway, but that's all for
me. Look, again, like we always say when we do these stories, if it's out there in the public media and it's been put out there, and it's clearly a joke. I mean, come on, it's a joke. It's clearly a joke. Then we're going to have a bit of a laugh of it.
Definitely. Definitely. But anyway, mate, that's all from me. Thanks to you. Thanks to Simon.
Grinding story.
Great story. So from me, everybody, take care. Love each other. Hold each other's hands. Give your loved ones a kiss and a cuddle. And enjoy the wonderful weather.
T ETFN.
Bye.
That was funny.
One final thing. My wife loves you, but...
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
If you've been affected by any of the subjects on today's episode, please know there is help out there.
That's right, Al. Not only can you speak to your friends and your loved ones, but you can also reach out to the great people at Better too.
Better is a charity raising awareness around mental health and suicide prevention. Better intends to increase understanding and reduce fears around the topics of mental health and suicide in order to conquer the stigma surrounding these incredibly important yet understanding issues.
So we want to introduce you to Shout. Shout 85258 is a free confidential text messaging support service for anyone in the UK who is struggling to cope. As a digital service, it's available to anyone of any age at any time, day or night, 24/7. It is silent to use and does not show up on your phone bills.
And if that doesn't work for you, reach out to the guys at Better at better.org.uk. Remember, guys, there is always someone out there who will listen, and it's okay not to be okay.
Stay safe, everyone.
Big love.